So I stopped to have lunch yesterday when I left the office, and it was about 3:30, and there was nobody there, not there, I think one other couple in the restaurant. And so one of the servers I know, she had been working around, and I noticed one time she just looked distraught. And usually they're just yakking at my table, you know, interrupting me with friends I have or whatever. And so she just kind of shined me on, and that was okay. You know, I know they're busy and everything. So this time she came over. She said, "Remember the other day when you told me that I'd been losing weight?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, I have, but it was a horrible thing that I went through." And she said, "You know, I've been through trials before, and they were really rough. But I seemed to make it through those, but I just couldn't make it through this. I couldn't get over it. And you gave me your book about that time I was going through." And so she said, "Can I sit down?" I said, "Sure." So she sat down. Here's what she told me, and here's why I want to take you to Psalms chapter 32. She said, "You know, I couldn't figure out why I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was just tore up, and I couldn't function." She said, "I don't know what was just getting me down. I knew the devil was tormenting me, but I'd been through things before. This was just too much." So she goes to a counselor. And by the way, she said, "I went to many people." And you know how some people will just lay out their dirty laundry or any kind of laundry to you. They tell everything they know, all their issues, all their problems, very easily to anyone that'll listen. And so with that, I said, "You know, sometimes you're better off, if you're getting bad advice, you're better off to have no advice." Well, she said, "I found that out." But I said, "So what did the counselor say?" And she said, "Well, she told me that I had the first hurt I had, I put it over in this compartment. And then the next hurt I had, I put it over in this department of my heart. And I kept pushing it away, and I kept hiding it, and I kept hiding it, and I kept pushing it under." And she said, "Pretty soon there comes a time where your heart is so full of hurt, and it is so full of pain, and it is so full of disgust and things you've been through, you don't know how to deal with it." So the lady said, "Your heart is full, so you have to empty that out." And so the thing was, she didn't tell her how to empty it out. And so the girl says, "So I went home, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to clean those out. I mean, how do we do that to ourselves?" And you know what? I was able to take her to Calvary. I was able to point her to the cross. That is the only place. Jesus is the only one that can clean out every one of those departments of our heart. He knows us. He knows that inner woman. He knows that inner man. And the Bible says, "Who knows the spirit of a man except the man? Who knows the spirit of God except the spirit of God?" And he said, "And I gave you the spirit of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "I gave you the spirit of God." Think on that. No one knows the spirit of God except him, the Holy Spirit. And so he comes to help us. And so I said, look. He is the only one in the world that can just clean out all of those departments of hurt and anger and bitterness and strife in your heart that's just piled up over the years, piled up. And she said, "How do I do that?" Now listen, some people in repentance, they don't even know that, you guys. Did you know it? I mean, we live in America, and we think everybody knows about Jesus dying on the cross and why he died. They don't. And I felt like I was putting water into the desert. You know, sometimes you just feel like you put more water in the ocean. It was like putting water in the desert. This gal that had not a clue. I said, "Look, we can do that right now, and we can go to him." "Well, I pray at home. I pray and I ask him to help me, but he doesn't." I said, "Well, you got to get to the cross where Jesus died to make that possible for you." And so we prayed, and I've invited her to come. I said, "I want you to come and give your heart to Jesus. You gave your heart to him just now, but I want you to come and now get baptized." "Well, I was baptized in Catholic Church when I was a little girl." I said, "You were sprinkled, weren't you?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "But Jesus was immersed under water, you need to be baptized. And so I want you to keep getting that in your heart and teach baptism and salvation. And for your friends that are hurting, try to get them over here at any service. You know, salvation is so big. It's such a delivering power. And I want to ask you, too, are any of you watching the movies Chosen? Anyone watching that? Lift your hands up high. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's about 6 people watching. But I'm going to tell you, it's worthy of watching if you can get it. Now, I can't do it on my TV. But I think you ones that have smart TVs, I've got a dumb TV, I guess. You can get it. If you have Netflix, you can get it. Oh, you can get it on the phone and on the internet. But I'm telling you, it's an amazing story. Though I know it's novel, but a lot of things are added, but it's close to the word. I mean, Jesus says the direct words. I'm not a big Jesus movie fan. I don't like watch a lot of those that have been made. I don't know. It's just something about them I don't like. I don't like Jesus dragging out long like he's all depressed. He walks 0 miles an hour when he's going somewhere. But these are anointed by the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't started watching Chosen, there's a series. Aren't they a series? They're a series, and so many people have been telling me about it. Sarah David's been watching it, and so they've been showing me pieces, and they're just absolutely amazing. So anyway, I want you to go over to Matthew. Excuse me, what did I say? I didn't say Matthew. Psalms chapter 32. Psalms chapter 32 and verse, we'll just start with verse 6, Kathy. Don't forget the prayer meeting tomorrow at noon. Just drop by, stop by for as long or as little as you want. I'm sorry? Oh, yes. All right, I can't forget to ask you ladies, don't forget the food. You were going to bring cupcakes, cookies. Just no pies, no cakes to cut, okay? Just finger food. So if you could help us with some desserts, that would be great. No, we're good. The prayer meeting will be fine. It's open house. You're just going to come and go as you please. So we can still do that at noon. I'll be in a little bit late because I got to go to the dinner. I know most of you didn't know the family, so you may not even go, and that's fine, but or be here for the service. But I'll be over shortly. All right, let's look at Psalms 32. Verse 6, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you, pray to God, in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah, just think on this. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which has no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, else they will not come near you. And so he said, for this cause, and that's because you've been forgiven. If we read the upper verses, you'll find out these people, their sins had been forgiven. He said, your transgressions, now this is a promise, a prophecy to be fulfilled. You and I live under this fulfillment. Okay, David was prophesying the very thing that Jesus did. So we are forgiven because of him. And so that's why he said now, for this cause, because you've been forgiven, and we are blessed because it says our sins have been imputed. Or they have been totally erased. One writer says that the sins, it would be like having them on a ledger. You know, you have the little column of ledgers when you pay your bills. We used to put them on a ledger like that. You pay the bills. Here's my utilities. Here's my mortgage. Here's this. Here's that. And he said, it's just like erasing it all. Just like erasing the entire account. Been imputed, it's been gone. It's an accounting word in the Greek. And so, for this cause, because you've been forgiven, everyone who is godly, if you love him with all your heart, you put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, because we're dressed fully in his armor, we have the righteousness of God, a breastplate of righteousness, a shield of faith. Our faith covers our entire bodies, from our feet, our head, our back, our front, our sides. We are totally engulfed in that shield of faith. He said, I don't have much faith. He didn't ask if you had any. He said, I've just given you a shield of faith. That's how I could see Sharon down there today with all that peace on her. That's how young Carmen went into surgery this morning all by herself. How did she do that? She had a shield of faith on her. And she knew her father was taking care of her. It's a total, total faith thing. We live by faith. So he said, now, it's very important because you're godly that you pray. You pray to him. In a time while he may be found, because there's coming a time where he won't be found. Now, that's a tribulation period, and they won't be able to find him anywhere. You know, Job was hurting, and Job said, man, in my disgust, like the girl I talked to yesterday at the restaurant, I heard Job talking just like this girl was talking. She says, man, I don't know, Pastor, I just looked everywhere for him. I tried to find him. And Job said, I looked to the left, he wasn't there. I looked to the right, God wasn't there. I looked before me, he wasn't. I looked all around. Job said, I could not find him anywhere. Now, Job knew better than that. But at one point, he said, "I it just seems like I can't find him. The song we sung Sunday, even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't see it, when I don't feel it, he's working. So he said, you can pray to him. Pray to him while he may be found, because he's being found today. But there's going to be a time when they won't be able to find him. Even it mentions there in a flood of great waters, that means flood of great waters, or even muddy waters are usually, if you have a dream and you dreamed of muddy waters or murky waters or dirty waters, that's not good. That represents a bad stream. But when you see clear streams of water, that's him. But it says, even when you came to that great flood of waters, he said, you didn't even come near him. Don't you know he is just absolutely amazed when he knows he is so near to us and everything he's given us? He is the great shepherd, and he said, you're in trouble, and you need me, and you don't even come near me? In today's language, he would probably say to us, are you serious? Or you've got to be kidding. Who do you think you are, and why are you leaving me out of it? But look at this hiding place, and I'm always talking to you about verse 7. You, meaning who, you know who it is, you are my hiding place. Now, sometimes the kids and I play hide and go seek, and I go find them. Sometimes they hide in the best places, and I just can't find them. It's hard for me to hide under a bed, okay? There's times when they were little, I don't do this anymore because now they're older. But when they were small, I would hide behind a door, and I would get behind that door. And there was the crack, they could see me, but, you know, they were too little to even notice that. And I would stick my shoe out a little bit so they could see me. And so they would be looking all around. Pretty soon they'd look, oh, there you are, Nana. So they knew, but I helped them. And I want to tell you, there's times when you can't find him. You don't see him. I look here, I look there, I don't know. And I believe he sticks his foot out a little bit. He says, here I am, come over here. You'll see me over here. He makes it easy for his church. He says, I wish you'd make it easy for me. He does. But just go to him. Go to him in faith. But as we do get older, just as they do, I hide in harder places so they can't find me. So he says, those who seek me, I will be found by them. He wants us to find him. He says, look for me. So I wanted to start this out by saying, if you're godly, pray to him. So we're all godly here tonight. So he said, go ahead and pray to me. Why? Okay, when we get in his hiding place, he has a hiding place. I'm not even calling it a secret place tonight. A hiding place is when you get in there all alone. I mean, it's just you. You're hiding by yourself. And when you hide in that hiding place, he is there with you. And there's something that happens. Look at the two things especially that happens when we get to his hiding place. Verse 7, The Bible says, David speaking in prophetic tones, he says, Lord, in verse 7, you are my hiding place. See, we hide in him. I told Sister Carmen last night, I said, Carmen, do you have a Bible by you? And she said, yeah. I said, look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Or 2 or 3. It says, our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Did you know there is no greater hiding place? Man, to think we are hidden with Christ. I wish I had a little box to demonstrate that. But you've got God right here. You put another box in it. That's Christ. And then you put another little something inside that box. That's us. So you've got us in Christ, in God. The best hiding place we can ever come to. So I said, honey, Carmen, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When they get in there, they'll be touching who Jesus is, your heart. Okay, so when we get into his hiding place, look at it, verse 7. You, him, God, Christ Jesus, you are my personal hiding place, my own, all by myself, all by yourself. You are my hiding place, and you shall preserve me from trouble. What? You will protect me. You will save me. You will keep me. We are protected. You remember when David said he was out on the battlefield, and he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He was on the battlefield. Enemies were all around him. He was surrounded, but he said, God, you have just prepared a table for me with everything I could need. And here we're saying the same thing. You preserve me. You save me. You protect me in front of all my enemies, in front of all my troubles, in front of all my trials, all the fires of life, anything I'll ever face. You protect me there. You preserve me. Look at the rest of it. Shall is a big old word. It's a definite. That means you will when it says you shall. You shall, number one, preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. You will surround me. Immediately when I was reading that earlier, what came to me is when Satan went before God and he was speaking about Job and he said, God, you have a hedge about him. Satan says this. I would attack him. I could really attack Job and I could take him out, except you have a hedge built around him. See, Satan knew that. Satan knew he had a hedge around him. Here the Bible says, oh, I get in your hiding place and you surround me. I'm just telling you, we have a hedge around us. Now you say, yeah, but he said you'll preserve me from trouble. We got trouble all around us. Yes, we got trouble all around us, but he said, I'll save you right in the middle of it. And I surround you. Now listen, if the devil, old Satan himself, Revelation called him that old serpent, that dragon, the devil. That's what he was called in, I think, Revelation 3. That old serpent, that dragon, that devil. If he knows there's a hedge around the man of God, Job, he knows there's a hedge around us. And he says, just let it down and I'll come in. And God said, okay, I'm going to move it so you can go in and tempt him. You say, oh, no, is that what he's going to do to me? He's going to let my head down? He's going to break this surrounding? No. All of the Old Testament saints, there were so many things that were used for examples for us. Okay, so we're in New Testament. He said, no, I'm not going to break that down. I'm going to give you peace right in the middle of that storm. You're still surrounded. Verse 8 goes a bit farther. Now, again, David didn't know what you and I know. But it's almost like David right here is writing what John said about the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know anything about the Holy Spirit that dwells in us like we do. Okay, so he's saying the words of John. Look at this. Verse 8. I speak with God speaking through the prophet here. I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I don't have to come down. I don't have to take you by the hand and say, come on, let's go this way. Come on. You know, there's people that come and go out of the church. One lady told me one time, said, the Lord, he'll just tell me every morning how I'm going to drive to work. Today, he says, we're going down Olive Street. Tomorrow, we're going, you know, down Morton. The next day, we're going down Henderson. I said, well, I wish God spoke to me that way. You know, there comes a time when the babies grow up, you don't have to change your diapers anymore. You don't have to feed them with a spoon. You don't have to. They're big enough to go their way. And you and I are all grown up. We can drive our cars to work any way we want to go. God will protect us. He doesn't have to get up every morning and give us every little thing. He said, in fact, I will guide you with my eye. I will instruct you. But then he gives us a bit of grace here and mercy. He says, now, I will guide you with my eye. Remember, he said, I'll send my angels to prepare the way that you should go. I just prayed that for someone tonight. He will send you in the way you should go, the way he prepared for you. He'll send his angels ahead of you. I will instruct you. I would teach you. Who's he talking about there? That's the Holy Spirit that John was talking about. John said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you and guide you into what? All truth. Why? Because there's a bunch of filthy lies out there. And you're going to face lies on your job. You're going to face lies and at work. You're going to face lies in life. And he said, my Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth because he is the Spirit of truth. Now look, I'll guide you. I'll teach you in the way you should go. I'll guide you with my eye. And then he says, don't be like the horse or like the mule. They don't have any understanding. They've got to be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, else they will not come near you. And they have to be spurred with spurs. And he said, don't be like that. I shouldn't have to deal with you harshly to get you in the right way. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. Let me finish just reading here. Many sorrows shall come to the wicked. But he who trusts in the Lord, somebody say, that's me. I trust in the Lord. Mercy shall do what? Mercy. Mercy. Other people don't want to give you mercy. Sometimes you don't want to give other people mercy. But he said, I will surround you with it. But he who trusts in the Lord, mercy will surround you. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. And shout for joy, all of you upright in heart. We got something to shout about, church. We've got something to be thankful for. And we have something to pray about tonight. And we have the privilege and the honor of just coming before him. Right now, just think about it. You and I are coming to his hiding place right now. That he might surround us, protect us. And it starts every time you walk into a secret place. Father, thank you for bringing us together tonight corporately. I thank you for your precious people. I thank you, Lord, for everything going on this week. And I want to thank you for our prayer tomorrow. May we come in here. Send the angels to fill this place before we come in. Let them just hover over this room tonight. And not only tomorrow for National Day of Prayer, but even for the funeral service, Lord, bless with a brand new touch of peace that family. But, Lord, on Sunday, when we come to the baptismal pool, I pray that you'll also be with me and what I would have to say. But Lord, bless every single boy and girl, every child, every adult that is being baptized. May the Spirit of Christ come upon us like the Holy Ghost came on Jesus. May he come that day to this little baptismal pool at Landmark in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you join me in prayer right now? Pull the lights down a bit and we'll begin to pray. And you just seek him however you feel too.